Luke chapter 20 is our taking off place this evening. By the way, there's more of those I wish forms out there on an old bulletin back. Keep them coming in. We're trying to, as you can see, we're trying to comply. I'm just going to read verses 17 and 18 of chapter 20 of Luke. I'm interested in the background. We'll talk about it briefly. Just reading verses 17 and 18 of chapter 20 of Luke. And he beheld them and said, "What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Father, we thank you for the touch of God, and we pray that it will touch us now. We pray that in a very real sense, the word will speak to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, we're in Holy Week in the scriptures here. Triumphal entry is behind us. Just 3 or 4 days and Jesus will be crucified. The occasion of this text is from the religious people, the leaders, who are violently and more strongly now attacking him. These are the very people that will accuse him and will bring him to trial, will occasion his death. And here in these first verses, they attack Jesus at the point of his authority. They said, "Who do you think you are that you can talk like you talk? By what authority do you say the things that you say?" I believe Jesus was tremendously gentle with anyone who has or had a real doubt or a real question. But he doesn't even answer these people. They don't want to know. And so he turns around and he answers their question with another question that they can't answer. They don't dare. He said, "Well, all right. You tell me about John the Baptist. Was he from God or was he just a man? Was his authority from God or was his authority of his own?" And they said, "He's got us in a corner here. If we say he's from God, he'll say, why didn't we mind him? And if we say he's from men, the people will stone us." Because John the Baptist had been accepted as a prophet of God. And so they didn't answer. And as it were, Jesus turned his back on them and began to speak to the people that he was already speaking to. And he gave this parable of the unfaithful husbandmen, the vineyard keepers. He told about how the vineyard owner went away and so forth. They sent back the prophets and they mistreated and killed the prophets. And finally they killed the owner's own son. And they perceived that he was talking about them. But he climaxed that parable of the unfaithful husbandman with this quote out of Psalm 118, verse 22. He said he beheld them, finally turned around and looked at them. And he said, "What does this mean? What does this passage out of the Psalms mean? Where it says, 'The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner.'" And then he added his own little postscript to this text from Psalm 118:22. He said, "Whosoever shall fall upon that stone will be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Jesus Christ himself is that stone. Peter, later on, in his epistle, picked up on this same theme, this same verse. If you want to turn to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 to 9. Peter says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He says Jesus is the stone that the builders have rejected. And Peter even goes so far as to call Jesus a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. How can Jesus, the gentle Jesus, meek and mild, the Savior of the world, how can Jesus be a stone of stumbling? Ignorance causes stumbling. I used to be known as the, until I started on my diet, as the midnight raider at our house, you know. And there's a few times, especially when the kids were younger and they had toys spread around on the floor, I'd come down in the dark to go to the refrigerator in my bare feet and step on a marble or on a little truck or something. You don't know it's there and you step on it and you stumble. Ignorance is a cause of stumbling. It's great to come home late at night when the furniture's been rearranged, though. And I suppose that there's a sense in which people can be ignorant of the claims of Christ. That's why we should go to a church where the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God is proclaimed. Not just one aspect or one part of it. For unclear Christian teaching causes stumbling. Very often what I hear on television, what I hear on the radio, makes salvation man-centered. Not everything that talks about Jesus being Christ and Savior is really at its heart Christian, because this way of salvation is not just a man-centered thing. God doesn't exist for our benefit. This universe is centered around Him. And by the salvation of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, we can be brought into God's plan. But a lot of unclear Christian teaching causes stumbling. And people can be ignorant of the right that Jesus has to order and to direct our lives. I think of that ninth chapter of Acts where Saul of Tarsus is on his way to Damascus, and he's really ignorant of the claims of Jesus Christ. I think by this time his heart has been stirred, but he says later, I verily thought within myself, my conscience was telling me that I ought to persecute these people. And yet finally when he got struck down and was brought face to face with Jesus, Jesus said, Paul, how come you're kicking against the gold? How come it is that you're fighting with me? And Paul may have been ignorant, but when he was arrested, it was Jesus that he was kicking against. But the heart of this stumbling, I've tried to make allowance for ignorance, the heart of this stumbling is the controversy that God's Word has with us. The Word speaks and we don't want to listen. Peter nailed it there in that passage we read when he said, them which stumble at the word being disobedient. And when we set our wills to do what we want to at any cost, we find that Jesus becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. How easy it is to read the Word of God if we read it and edit out or ignore those parts that make claims that are unpleasant. How easy it is to intellectualize our faith in the demands of Christ till we can actually live in disobedience to what we have once known was God's will. We can hear sermons about soul winning We can get excited about somebody on the other side of the earth trying to do God's will, and we can go home and live unchristlike to those that know us in our own homes. One of the major causes of problems, as far as I'm concerned, and I speak as a parent today, but I've had young person after young person come to me and say, "Dad, Mom, don't live the Christian faith like it's preached from the pulpit." Jesus can be a rock of offense, and we need to listen. And if we're stubbing our feet against his demands, he's not going to change. He's stubborn. And Satan's extremely skillful also at attracting people to issues that aren't right on target, that put Jesus right at the center. Satan's like an Indian wrestler. If he can't get you to be at one extreme, he'll try and get you over at the other extreme. Especially if we're not careful to discipline our lives and stay in close fellowship with Jesus, if he can't get you to become a cold, out-and-out sinner, he'll get you to become a fanatic, pull you over on the other side, and it's still self-centered. Until we have to have things that are exciting instead of the faithfulness and the fruit that glorifies God. And often an undisciplined spirit is attracted to foolish questions or to areas that really aren't central in the theme. I've mentioned George Gribben a few times. George Gribben was telling me about a young convert in his church out in Ohio. And somehow he got taken up with British Israelism, of all things. And just making a stir in the church about things that really don't make any difference at all. George said he was just going to seed over it. But thank God Titus 3:9 spoke to him, where it says, "Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." And the word of God spoke exactly to where he was, and he was man enough to see, "I have been into these foolish questions and genealogies." And he obeyed, and it saved him to Christ and to the church. We need to live in the Word and be open to the Word and obedient to the Word. And Jesus is always a stumbling block to self-centered faith. Somehow he just refuses to fit into our lives. This whole message tonight is just an occasion for me to say, one of my favorite themes, you can't fit Jesus into your life. He just won't fit. You have to build your life around him. Jesus is meant to be the cornerstone of our lives. And when we just stop and scrap our own plans and scrap our own ideas and begin with him, oh, what a difference things make. He's no figurehead cornerstone. I've been to a few cornerstone lanes. I remember when they laid the cornerstone for the Nice Library. And I watched, I think Joe Williamson was one that playing with a trowel there. They probably, after all these dignitaries got through putting the mortar on, as soon as they got out of sight, the workman took all the mortar off and put it on correctly. But that's just a cornerstone that says 1952 or whatever the date is. And it really isn't, it's just there for show. But Jesus is the kind of cornerstone that is not only for show, he's there to really bear the weight. And when you build your life on him, it doesn't mean you won't face stress. But I want you to know that when you build your life upon him, just like he said at the close of the Sermon on the Mount there in the 7th chapter of Acts, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And when the floods came and the winds blew, the rains came, the house stood because it was founded upon the rock. And then Jesus' odd shape, you know, the stone the builders rejected, we can't fit that in. This unique stone which the builders couldn't find use for. It's a funny thing, but when we begin to build our life on Jesus, it's funny that he just is able to fit in all the good things of life. Matter of fact, he says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Somehow we get the idea that if we follow Jesus' plan, everything that's precious to us and all of our real talents and everything that we love will just have to go down the tubes, be wasted. The idea of following Jesus is that everything, it's kind of like being on a diet. Everything that tastes good is fattening, or, you know. It's not that way with Jesus. Praise God. I think of Paul Ayala. When he was asked by the church to go to Haiti, we'd had work in Haiti for a number of years. But after Paul Ayala had been there for 10 years, the work had just has just exploded. Paul Ayala was God's man. But Paul Ayala was, I shouldn't put him in the past tense, he still is very much Paul Ayala. But he's a very multi-talented man, and one of his loves is playing the piano, musician. And one of the things, he didn't really struggle over whether he should do the will of God or not, but one of the things that seemed to pain him as he went to Haiti would have to give up was music. But what God has done with Paul Ayala since he went to Haiti, what a man he was. And you know, he didn't even have to give up his music. The Lord had a piano shipped down to Haiti so that on his time off down there, brand new piano that he could play and enjoy. God's not interested in taking all your fun away. He just wants you to make sure that you build your life into him. What he has you give up, what he calls upon you to leave, is only for your own good. You don't dare to deny him that. And then as we follow his plan and build on him, whatever he calls us to do by way of a vocation or a calling, the beautiful thing about it, every structure that's built on Jesus as the cornerstone becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's the most beautiful thing. Whenever you build on Jesus, whatever you do with your life, Jesus comes to dwell. God lives in the life that's built on the cornerstone called Jesus. And yet, as Jesus quoted this passage, he was quoting it to some people that didn't want to hear it. And he kind of added his own postscript. Let's look at those two choices Jesus seems to give concerning this stone. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. It seems to me, maybe I'm stretching it, I don't know if I'm getting the right exegesis here or not. Seems as though Jesus is saying, you know, you can come to this stone and you can fall upon it in repentance. And your own stubborn will and your own self-seeking can be broken. And he can take those broken pieces and he can melt them and mold them and make them anew into something that really counts for time and for eternity. So we can say, my stubborn will at last has yielded. I would be thine and thine alone. There's a breaking involved when we come to the stone. And it's not always easy. Matter of fact, it isn't easy, it's hard. I might as well tell you. When you fall on the stone, when you're broken, thank God he can pick up the pieces and make of you more than you ever dreamed you could be. But the other alternative is we can go ahead and reject. But he says, on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the wrath of God falls on the children of disobedience. As we come into this revival this week, what a tremendous opportunity to sit under the ministry of this man of God. What a tremendous opportunity to see once again how Jesus wants to be central in our lives. I want to ask you these questions. Is Jesus really the central figure in your life? seems so basic and so simple, doesn't it? Come on now, be honest. Is Jesus really the central figure in your life? Are you building? Is your life being built squarely on a relationship of trust in the person of Jesus?